The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. What we're going to look at today in our study is Judas, who was one of the apostles of the Lord, and what he did once he died and the 12 apostles became 11 apostles. What does that mean to us, and why would that help us in our Bible study? Well, my name is Carl Trimboli, and I'd sure like to help you today in your Bible study. And if there's ever a question, remember, please, at the end of this study, there'll be a number up on the screen. Have a paper and pencil ready if you have any further questions. To pick up in our study now, turn to the book of Acts. If you have a Bible handy, please pick it up and read along with us as we go. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. "Time has gone by since Judas had betrayed the Lord," and the Lord is speaking with his disciples here, his apostles. It says in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the othermost parts of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So now the Lord has gone to heaven. He's ascended to heaven, leaving the 12 apostles here on earth to do the ministry in his absence. Verse 12 says, "They returned to Jerusalem after he left." And verse 13 gives us the names of the 11 apostles that are left here on earth to fulfill the ministry. Verse 13 says, "And when they were come in, they went into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James," that is not Judas Iscariot that betrayed the Lord. So there, if you count the names, that's 11 apostles there left in this upper room to fulfill the ministry. Peter was the spokesperson for the 12, and he says this in verse 15, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of them, the names together were about 120. There was 120 men there apparently. And verse 16 says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." Here Peter's remembering some verses that were prophesied. And when a verse is prophesied, it needs to be fulfilled. The main thing in any Bible study is you need to know that this is the Word of God. And the next thing to do is you need to believe that this is the words that the Holy Ghost spake to the writers, and their inspired words, that we need to believe these things. Not trying to explain away the verses, but to understand the verse as it sits in the Bible. Peter said there was something spoken by David in the book of Psalms. And it said there that he which was my friend and ate with me has lifted up his heel against me. And that's Judas. Judas is prophesied as being someone who lifted up his heel against the Lord and against the ministry that the Lord was working. So Peter recognizes this. Verse 17, though, says, Peter says this, "For he was numbered with us." He was one of us. He was numbered, one of the 12 apostles, and had obtained part of this ministry. Judas was numbered with them, and he had his place. He had an office with the 12 apostles. And since he's dead now, there's only 11. Verse number 20, it says, "For it is written." Peter goes back to Scripture again. It says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take." Peter says, it's prophesied in the book of Psalms that says his bishopric let another take. That simply means his office, what he's doing. His overseership needs to be fulfilled, needs to be someone in that place. So as we go down, we're going to see what's going to happen. Someone needs to fill this place. Prophecy cannot go unfulfilled. We'll see what happens here. Peter now says in verse 21, "Wherefore," which means which one of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning, watch these words now, beginning from the baptism of John until the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection? So Peter says he knows something. He knows that the man they're going to choose to fill Judas's position, his office, needs to have walked with the Lord in his earthly ministry, beginning at his baptism. When John the Baptist, water baptized the Lord in Jordan, from that time forward, this person that's going to fill the office that Judas had is going to need to walk with the disciples and the Lord and be taught by him all the way through until his resurrection. And we just read that in Acts 1:8, in his ascension into heaven. So who are these men, and who is going to be who's going to qualify for this? Verse 23, "And they appointed two." They found two that filled this qualification. Joseph, called Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So there's two men that they approved that have walked with them this whole time in the Lord's earthly ministry, Joseph and Matthias. "And they prayed," verse 24, "and they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen." They pray to the Lord and they say, "Lord, which one do you want us to put into this ministry? Which one do you want us to choose that will fill Judas's office?" And we see now in verse 25, the intent of the choosing of the two men was for this reason, that he may take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. The whole reason for this choosing was to have a man take part of the ministry, just like Judas was, only Judas is now fallen from that fine place of apostleship because of his transgression, and he fell. And they gave forth their lots. They gave forth their lots. The best that I can understand this is that they would all had a piece of wood or something resembling a piece of wood, and when they cast their lots, they put it in front of the man or handed it to the man that they voted for. It would be more like a vote than anything else. It's not something like dice that I don't understand that. It's more like their vote. They're casting a ballot for that man. The thought is not real hard to understand. In Matthew 16, the Lord told Peter that he would have the keys to the kingdom, authority, and that whatever was bound in heaven is bound on earth. So Peter had authority. As we go further into the book of Acts, we find two people, Ananias and Sapphira. When the apostles are taking in money for the poor people, they say, "We've sold some land." And Ananias came in first and stood before Peter. And Peter said, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Ananias came in and says, I sold the land for this much. And he lied to Peter. He sold it for more, and he kept back part of the money. And then Sapphira, his wife, came in later and did the same thing, and they both died instantly. Peter knew their heart. He didn't have to ask the Lord at that time. He just knew their heart. The Lord gave Peter insight into that man's heart. So in Acts chapter 1 over here, when two men are standing before them, they ask the Lord, which one of these men have you picked? So the Lord opens their eyes that they might know their hearts, and they cast their lot in front of that man whom the Lord chose. And verse 26 goes on to say, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. So this isn't very hard to figure out. The biggest part of the problem is really believing what's going on here. In verse 26, it says he was numbered with the 11. The math is very simple. If you have 11 apostles and you add one to that, you are again operating and functioning with 12 apostles. And it was necessary for 12 apostles to be there. If we turn or look at the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Why is it even necessary to fill the position for the 12th apostle? Matthew 19, in verse 28, the Lord says this, 19:28, and Jesus said unto them, he's talking to the 12 apostles, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye which have followed me, see that, who's followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. So there, the Lord is prophesying here and stating a fact that in the kingdom, there's going to be 12 thrones set up, and there's going to be an apostle sitting on each one of those thrones. And he's talking to these 12 men that we listed, in, 11 of them that we listed in Acts chapter 1, and Matthias will end up to be the 12th. But he said there's going to be 12 thrones. He didn't say 11. There needs to be the 12th one there, and it needs to be fulfilled. Now, that's why Matthias is picked, so that the Lord has his complete number of 12. Back to Acts chapter 1. In verse 26 again, and we finish up there and say, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. And you might say, okay, that's fine, but why do I need to know about the 12th apostle? Why do I need to know that Matthias was one of the 12? Well, most of my New Testament now, from the books of Romans through the book of Philemon, is written by another apostle, and he's not listed with any of the 12. He's the Apostle Paul, who at the beginning was called Saul. And so if you in your Bible study, you try to take the teachings of the 12 apostles and Christ, and you now take and follow the Apostle Paul for your doctrine also, you're combining two different programs. You're taking instructions from two different sets of apostles. Paul the apostle is one by himself. He's not one of the 12 apostles and did not qualify to be one of the 12 either. There are a lot of people that try to join everything together. The 12 apostles taught the law as Jesus Christ taught the law. They were instructed to do that. The Apostle Paul was instructed to teach people about the dispensation of the grace of God, which is called a mystery. Acts chapter 7. To keep your Bible study understandable and complete, we need to take the Apostle Paul and not make him one of the 12. In Acts 7:57, we find we're going to break right into a story where they're stoning Stephen. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran on him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses lay down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. This Saul, who later will be called Paul as he writes the rest of the New Testament. Verse 59, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Chapter 8, verse 1, and Saul, the same man, was consenting unto his death. He was consenting, saying, yeah, stone him. He's the one we want to kill. So Saul was consenting unto his death. He was the leader. They all stoned, and he stoned Stephen, and he was standing there telling them what to do, his followers. He was the leader. He was the leader of the move or the force against everything that Christ stood for and everything that the 12 apostles taught. He was going against that. In verse 3, it says, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women and committing them to prison. So he made havoc of that same church that the 12 apostles were establishing in Jerusalem. And it's listed that he murdered people, he was accomplice to murder, plus he was out seeking them wherever he could find them. In chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 9, verse 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, anyone that followed Christ, or anyone who followed the 12 apostles, any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and so on. The account goes on. But does this sound like a disciple of the Lord? Does this sound like someone filled with the Holy Spirit as Peter was, that he would reach out and grab this man who was doing these things? He's not a disciple of the Lord. He's working against anything that they worked for, anything they stood for. He did not have any official office with the 12 apostles. He was working exactly against them. Here's something interesting. If Paul was one of the 12 apostles, he would have been commissioned by the Lord himself, plus he would have been seen chosen by the 12 apostles with that insight they had. But look at verse 4 of chapter 9. It says this, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice. This is Saul falling to the earth. And heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, would this be a disciple of the Lord, an apostle of the Lord, persecuting him? No, the Lord had to take Paul up by the neck and say, why are you persecuting me? So he is certainly not one of the disciples. He's not one of the apostles of the Lord. He was not chosen by Peter or anybody else to fit in with the 12 apostles. The proof goes on. We're taking scripture and not just something we suppose. This book will prove it out for what we want to see and why Paul was not one of the 12 apostles. After Paul's conversion, Paul restates, and he remembers something about his doings and all the things that he was doing against the church. Acts 26, and this is interesting. Acts 26, verse 9, it says, I verily thought with myself. He didn't go to the scriptures to find this out. He said, I thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that fine? Isn't that something that everyone should do today? Just think it within yourself and go ahead and do it. No, I'd rather be pleasing the Lord. I'd rather go to my Bible to find out how the Lord wants me to worship Him, how it is that He says I'm supposed to be saved, and I don't just sit in a corner sometime and just ponder on what's right and what's wrong. I go to the book. I've got it in black and white here so that I can read it, and I appreciate having the scriptures and being able to understand them. It just takes a lot of study. The verse goes in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That rightly dividing is what we're doing by taking Paul and putting him on his own side of the scriptures, on his own side in the time of the dispensation of the grace of God, and not putting him in with the 12 apostles and putting him under the law. That's not where he belongs. Paul goes on to say in Acts 26, verse 10, "Which thing I did, also I did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority." He goes on and on and tells all these things that he did to the saints in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where the apostles were supposed to start their ministry, and at Jerusalem is where Paul started his persecution of the saints. So that's another reason why we see that he is not one of the 12. He's fighting the 12 and putting them in prison and killing some of the deacons. Stephen was one of the deacons that was with the 12 apostles. Acts chapter 22, verse 1. "Men and brethren and fathers, hear my defense which I make unto you now." This is the Apostle Paul speaking now. He's called Paul now in this part of the Scriptures after his conversion. Verse 3 says, "I am verily a man which am born a Jew in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught," watch this, "taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye are all this day." It wasn't quite enough that he was just jealous or zealous towards God, but he was zealous according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. This is where a lot of the tradition of the church came in. This is where Paul picked up his teaching where he should persecute the church of God. While the 12 apostles were walking, and other people were walking, Matthias was walking with the Lord and learning those things that the Lord wanted to teach them on how to live and how to please God, Paul was sitting at the feet of Gamaliel listening to the traditions of the fathers and the perfect law. That was not something that God would approve of. But he was bragging about sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, a worldly teacher, rather than sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's bragging about that point. I know that Paul did not walk and talk with the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry. Once Saul was converted, the Bible starts to call him Paul. The name Saul starts to drop off when he is converted. Saul has now a new man, and he begins a new title called the Apostle Paul. And he's an apostle not like the 12 apostles. This same apostle tells us we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we can search in the accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where the 12 apostles learned from the Lord, and we won't find that. We won't find this Apostle Paul, this one that is not one of the 12, we won't find his message buried in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It said when the Lord talked to them saying, "I was going to go to the cross and die and rise again the third day," it says that they understood none of these things. It was hid from them. They didn't have a grasp on the gospel that we understand from the Apostle Paul. It's something that was hid from them. They didn't know that. It's in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writes this, and it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." He's no longer writing to the Jews in Jerusalem. They've all rejected the Lord for the most part. Here Paul's sent to the Gentiles. Verse 2, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me to you ward." He's given the dispensation of the grace of God. He's not taught the law. He's not giving them and putting them under the law of Moses. He has something different. And if we do what that verse says about rightly dividing, we'll know where to take the Apostle Paul and put him where he belongs, not with the 12 apostles and not with their ministry. Verse 3 says, "How that by revelation he made known, Jesus Christ made known unto him by revelation the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Remember, it was hid from the 12 apostles? Watch this. "When in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." It's now revealed that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I, Paul, was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see, which is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been what? Hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So what we see in verse 5, it says, in other ages was not made known. Verse 8 says it was unsearchable. Verse 9 says it was hid in God. So you can't tell me that we can go back to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the prophets and in the book of Psalms and in the other books to find Paul's message. He wasn't part of the message that the Lord was teaching the 12 apostles. He did not qualify to be one of the 12 apostles. He qualified to be his own apostle, and that was to the dispensation of the grace of God. That was a certain dispensation that meant to Gentiles, not to the nation of Israel. So we see Paul says something here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and he says this, and he has the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking by the will of God. He says, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern, something to follow, to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Paul says, I'm not one of the 12. He says, not in me 12th. He says, in me first, that I might be a pattern to those. He was the first that was saved by grace through faith alone, plus no works of the law. And Paul preached that. If you follow his books from Romans to the book of Philemon, you don't have to put him in as one of the 12 apostles, and your Bible study will go on a lot clearer when you take him and put him in his own apostleship. Thanks for watching.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we could be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe.